Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Today is Father's Day. If you have been at our church any amount of time, you know that it is a day we have a tradition here. I try to model vulnerability in a powerful way by telling dad jokes. And I don't know where they're gonna go or land. And anyway, here we go. Are you ready? Are you really ready? All right, here we go. First one. Why aren't lobsters generous? Because they're shellfish. I promise you, they'll get a little better. They'll get a little better, I think. Why don't you play poker in the jungle? Because there's a lot of cheetahs. A lot of cheetahs, yes, yes. Why do melons have weddings? They cantaloupe. Yep. You know, here's the deal, right? How's this going for our French and Swahili and ASL translations today, right? You ever think about that? How's that going? Yeah. Sorry to our translators, interpreters. I bless you today. What's a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet? None. Historians have suggested that most pirates were illiterate. A cheese factory exploded in France. Debris is everywhere. That's pretty bad. What did Kermit the Frog say at his puppeteer's funeral? Nothing. That's a little dark. It's a little dark for church, right? A little dark. Yeah. My elders are probably going to come talk to me later, but it's okay. Last night, I accidentally handed my wife the glue stick instead of her chapstick. She hasn't talked to me since. Shame. Thank you for bearing with me on those. Just trying to keep the tradition alive. But anyway. And I know many of you are going to send me dad jokes in the coming week, and please do, because we can upgrade. And some of these, to be honest with you, some of these are from you. In fact, a lot of these are from you after you, yeah. Anyway, today, hard pivot, we're talking about shame. Great. We are in week 3 of our series, Shame, and today I just want to jump right in, because I just want you to know I believe there's freedom in this room today. And I think it's a powerful thing. I'm sensing it already. And I want to just start out with this statement. It's a statement that I believe makes the enemy shudder. I believe it's a statement that puts the enemy on notice. And here's the statement. I've never shared this with anyone before. I've never shared this with anyone before. As a pastor, one of the roles that I get to play is oftentimes I find myself hearing people's confessions. And oftentimes a confession begins with these words. And when a confession begins with these words, I know that something big is about to come into the light. The reason the enemy shudders is because something that has been hidden in darkness, holding power over this individual, is about to come into the light. And when it comes into the light, freedom will be there because of Jesus' work on the cross. It's a powerful, powerful phrase. Confession is not an easy thing. Bringing things into the light takes immense courage, especially with those areas of our life that we have worked so hard to keep in the dark for so many years. A few years ago, somebody challenged me to do a full life confession, and I did it. And it was fascinating, the things that began to come up, things that I thought weren't that big of a deal and probably weren't, but for some reason, there was just a stronghold there. And I questioned whether or not I even wanted to say that I've been holding on to deep anger at this person for the last 5 years, or whatever those things might be. And yet, as I got them out, I felt the weight lift and I felt freedom come. And that will be our invitation today. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at this topic of shame, how it entered into the story in the garden, how Jesus paid for it on the cross. And today I want to just talk practically about what it means to come out from hiding and put it all at the feet of Jesus. Today we're talking about the exposing of shame, bringing attention to it and laying it before the throne. I believe, again, that there is freedom to be had in this room today. Today, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 32. We'll be in the Old Testament in this psalm. I'll put it on the screen, but you can look at it there in your pew Bibles. You can also open up your app. This is a psalm of King David. It is written by the king himself and expresses the power and the freedom that we can have if we confess our sins regularly, if we continually bring things into the light and live a life with no secrets. There's joy, there's freedom, there's victory that we'll see here in this psalm. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Psalm 32, verses 1 to 7. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed my sins to you and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord and you forgave me. My guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. This is the word of the Lord. There's an invitation here in this beautiful psalm. King David has discovered something. And in his writing this psalm, he's hoping that you also discover it. It's the truth that we can move from hiding from God to hiding in God, to move from hiding from him to hiding in him. That's the goal. As we talked about in week one, shame causes us to hide. We were created to be perfectly vulnerable and honest and known by God, and then shame came and disrupted it. We were created to co-create and co-rule with God, and shame came in and interrupted that. When shame is present, we have a hard time understanding and accepting God's love and God's grace for us. When we hide our shame, we begin to have this new posture that God the Father is actually upset with us, that he's angered at us, that we're disappointments to him. And when that starts to compound, we just hide more. We can't receive the truth that he loves us and likes us too. And so we continue to hide, which means we're not knowable to God and to others. So how do we come out of the hiding and how do we reverse this trend? Well, this psalm gives us some guidance as well as other places in scripture. But this morning, I want to get incredibly practical. There's some steps that we can take to get freedom from shame. The first step is to admit that shame is actually present and has influence over us. To admit that it's there, that it's what's causing us to hide. Maybe it's what's actually physically affecting us. That's often what happens. That's the story in David's case. It says that he has been sitting in hiding, and in a way, it's eating him inside. His exact words in verse 3, my body is wasting away. I groan all day long. Shame and guilt from unconfessed sin is the diagnosis that we see here. Many describe shame as this heavy weight that they have to carry around. And freedom from shame is just the lifting of this. Over the past 2 weeks, I've had an incredible opportunity to get a pretty intense root canal. It's a lot of fun. It's a really good time. And as you sit there in the dental chair, they do something. They take a before and an after x-ray. And when they take the x-ray, it's fascinating. They put this heavy lead like blanket on you. And it just kind of weighs you down. And then everybody runs out of the room because they don't really know the effects of what's about to happen to you, which just makes you feel totally at peace. But it's a fascinating thing because then when they take that blanket, that chest protector off of you, you can breathe normally again. And it's the same with shame. When we find freedom from shame, there's this lightness. We feel lighter. And some of us walked in today carrying weight. Some of us walked in feeling a bit constricted, feeling a heaviness on our shoulders. And it's important that we recognize that quite often, shame is at the root of that weight. We need to start by calling it for what it is. I'm experiencing shame right now. It's what's causing me to hide. It's what's causing me to hold back this aspect of myself from this group. It's what's causing me to be walking in fear out of potentially being found out. It's what's causing the self-contempt that I am not enough and the agreement with the lies that there's something lacking within me. Or on the opposite extreme, it's what's causing me to puff up with pride as a defense mechanism, even though that's not in line with what I'm truly feeling deep inside. Shame has these effects on us. And breaking its power by bringing it out of the shadows is a first step to freedom. When we name it for what it is, we begin to tame it. But the second step that I see here is we got to discover what the shame is attached to. Why does it have a reason to be present in our life? Brian last week challenged us at the end. He said, pay attention to the things that you are trying to hide. What are those things that we're trying to hide from other people that we don't want them to know about ourselves? That's a great place to start. For some of us, shame is attached to a lie that maybe we believed back in seventh grade on the playground when that person said something to us and it stuck, it hurt, the arrow pierced, and we believed that lie about us and we have only compounded it and kept it in the dark. For others, it's something that even happened to us. For others, it's a reoccurring thought or sin or an addiction that we're struggling with and we can't shake it and it's likely still in the dark. Some of us are getting a bit uncomfortable because there are things in our story, in our journey that we have done, that we are embarrassed about, and we have never told anyone those secrets. And we have a pretty good idea that the shame that we've been experiencing is attached to that. But as we look at the risk of bringing that into the light, we say, no way. For others in the room, we're not sure where the origin of that shame comes from. But that's where the good news comes in. Because in John 16, when Jesus is getting ready to ascend, he says, I'm going to give you a gift, the advocate, the Holy Spirit. And one of his primary roles is to gently bring into the light the things in your past that have brought grief to God so that you can lay them at the feet of Jesus. His voice is gentle and specific. It's not vague and accusatory. That's condemnation, and that's from the enemy. And still, even with the Holy Spirit's soft voice come and bringing things to the light, for some of us, yeah, not going there. I'm not coming out of hiding. And that's where often we see the prophetic step in. Whether it be in the Old Testament when the prophet Nathan comes and confronts David and says, you need to come clean, David. It's a gift that got him there prophetically, that allowed him to bring things into light and live life to the fullest, to the point where he is called a man after God's own heart. I think of Jesus talking to the woman at the well in the midday, and he gently leads her to why she's there and the shame that she's under, allowing her freedom as his compassion speaks to her. Some of us will find freedom when the prophetic comes and plays a role. But whatever gets us there, once we recognize what the shame is attached to, that's where the confession begins. Because we confess it, we bring it into the light. It's a level of vulnerability. It's a power move. We confess to God and we confess to others. It's a power move because of what Jesus completed on the cross. We see it in verse 5. David says, I confessed all my sins and I stopped trying to hide. He lives in the light. Honesty with God. We look at David's life and we recognize that there's a great truth. To be fully loved means to be fully known. You can't be fully loved unless you're fully known. Dr. Kurt Thompson, the author of the book, The Soul of Shame, says, we can love God, we can love ourselves, and we can love others only to the degree that we are known by God and known by others. To get to that point involves vulnerability and transparency. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it feels like every time I go out to dinner with Jess, there's a table sitting near us that's kind of loud. Last week, we were at this restaurant, and there was this couple sitting right behind us. They were pretty loud, and it was very evident they were on their first date. Couldn't help but listen in. We didn't even have to say anything. They said something, Jess and I locked eyes, and we're like, oh, front row seat. This was an awkward first date, man. It was beautiful. It was so entertaining. They're sitting there like, you like that too? I also like that. No, you don't. You are so, oh man. They were just staying on surface. They were putting the best facade they could up so that the other person would like them. And it was just, oh, it was awful and beautiful at the same time. And I know that that's often a natural experience on a first date. There's nothing wrong with just trying to make that conversation and find some common ground to build a relationship on. But the truth is, if it stays at that surface level, that relationship's got one more date if they're lucky. For a relationship to develop and flourish, there has to be a level of transparency and vulnerability and honesty. It's not just true on those couples coming together on those dates. It's true in all of our relationships in life, including our relationship with God. Man, if there's one thing you take from this talk today, it's this: vulnerability and honesty, that equals freedom and intimacy. When we are vulnerable and honest with God and others, we will find new levels of freedom and intimacy in our relationship with God and with others. And the truth is, with God, it's these areas of brokenness, these segments of our insecurity, of our narrative that we believe about ourselves, our secret sins and thought patterns. These are the areas that most need to be known by God so that he can bring healing to them, so that he can forgive them, so he can speak the truth of who we are as sons and daughters of the King into them. But that only happens when we're vulnerable. And that's the invitation today. Vulnerable and honest confession. Living that way before God and others. When we're known in those subtle, hidden areas that have carried shame, sometimes for years, sometimes purposely, sometimes unconsciously, it unlocks new depths. So how do we do that? How do we live lives of confession and honesty with God and with others? Well, I believe the good news is that us being created in the image of God, there's an innate desire in us to bring things into the light. I believe that's why we have the phrase, feels good to get that off my chest. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to go to this place in Portland called Hopscotch. It's this kind of interactive art, I don't know how to describe it, adult ball pits, and just it's a fun place. Anybody been to Hopscotch? A couple of us in the room probably have. It was interesting as we progressed through the different rooms and all these sensory things, we got to this one room, and it's called the Secret Garden. I'll put a picture up of it up here. In the Secret Garden, you get in there. It's the darkest room that we entered into, and you stand under these kind of flower tree things. And I didn't know what to expect, and you go under the tree, and all of a sudden, you find yourself hearing other people's confessions. Intense confessions. And then you realize that there's a confessional over in the corner where you can go and close the door and record your deepest secrets so that other people can hear them in the coming weeks. And it's not like, oh, you know, I had this thought today. No. I stood under this tree, and I've never told anyone this, but I stole $700 from my employer on my last day. Never told anyone this, but I'm having an affair right now, and it's my third, and my husband has no clue. I've never told anyone this before, but I have an addiction to gambling, sports betting. My wife has no idea. It's not out of control, but I'm scared it might get there. It was a fascinating experience to stand in a public space and hear people's darkest secrets. And there was part of it that was like, this is impressive. There is something spiritual happening. And there was part of me that just left with a heavy, heavy heart because what they are getting is a cheap alternative. It's bringing temporary relief to get those things off their chests. But it's not the full deal. Because confession needs to be before God so that he can cover us with his grace, his love, and forgiveness. So that he can put on the new clothes. Confession is worship because it testifies to the reality that shame has been defeated on the cross. As Brian shared last week in Colossians 2, it has been disarmed. Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities that want you to keep stuff in hiding. It's a power move because of what's already been accomplished. And when we begin to confess and bring things before the feet of Jesus, we recognize that that stuff's really not that big of a deal to him. And he actually responds with compassion and grace. And we begin to receive that freedom. And we begin to be alive and known. And yet, so many of us in this room won't do it. Because we think that God's posture towards us is one of anger, frustration, and disappointment. But it's not. He's a gracious and kind and good father. To the dads out there, undoubtedly at some point in your life, you are holding your beautiful child and they smiled at you and they looked at you and you felt this incredible peace and then they projected vomit all over you. And you looked at them, but you didn't get angry. You recognize the inconvenience, the stench, what was going on, and you simply cleaned it up, and you said, I'm so sorry you're sick. We will get through it. I love you. Church family, that's how God views us. There's a love there that is just unexplainable. And so when we bring our sin and our secrets and we lay them at the feet of Jesus, we find ourselves lingering in his presence more because of his kindness, because of his compassion. There's freedom found when we confess things to God. And that freedom is exponentially greater when we also confess to others. Bringing it to God is a great, incredible step, but there's also limitations. I think it's safe to say that when we only confess to God, we tend to repeat those sins. At least it's true in my life. And so it's important for us to also confess to others. James 5:16 makes it super clear. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Look, the public that was confessing at Hopscotch was not receiving healing. The healing becomes because of what Jesus has done. And that's the end goal. And so, church family, can we come out of hiding? What it is you're hiding is a bigger deal in your mind than it is in reality. It's a bigger deal to you than it is to Jesus. He's not surprised by it. When we repent in community, we realize that often we're not the only ones struggling with this. And it unravels the isolation and vulnerability and honesty begin to happen, oftentimes in groups. With that, freedom and intimacy become known. We've been seeing this over and over in our soul care groups. Hundreds from our church have gone through that process. Here's just one testimony of what that's like. Would you check out this video?
Okay, well, shame isolated me. It made me feel uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable with myself. Shame made it very hard for me to open up to my husband. Shame made it hard for me to open the Bible even, because I felt that I was not worthy enough for God, worthy enough to be loved by him. I felt like I wasn't worthy enough to be loved by anybody, actually. Or even liked by anybody. I kept my distance from a lot of people, actually. I lost a lot of friends. Well, people I thought were friends. And I believe I lost myself, too. Just the things that I even used to enjoy in life. Shame took that away as well. And I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be fearful to bring out the shame and guilt to people, because everybody has shame. Everybody has guilt. And I don't have to hide from it. And I think that's where my problem was, is I hid from my shame and guilt and I tucked it aside and it just kept coming out. it kept coming out and creeping out. So yeah, learning God's word and knowing that he loves me no matter how much shame or guilt I feel, he will help me through it. I started opening up to other people, bringing other people, letting other people come into my life because I had closed myself off for many years, listening for God's voice, taking in his love, knowing exactly what he wanted for me, and learning what my purpose was.
Is a common one. I love when she says, I started letting people come in, because shame causes us to hide. And so this morning, as we head back to worship, I want you to know that the altar is open. Our anchor verse in Hebrews reminds us that Jesus, he disregarded shame on the cross. It's gone. It's done. He's seated at a place of honor. And though shame might trip us up, it's been disregarded. It's been scored. It's been nailed to the cross. The truth is that he hung on the tree so that you could come out from hiding from behind the tree. Have you? Are there things that you need to bring before him? When we come to the altar, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of courage. It's a sign of surrender that we want to come out of hiding and make things right. Today, the invitation is one, to just come to the altar, but I'd love to even make it more specific. I'd love for you to consider grabbing maybe the pen and some paper there in the pew, or there's some up here on the stage and in the front rows, and considering writing maybe the fear, the lie that you identified but you've kept in the dark, the sin or the secret that you haven't told anyone else. Your phrase might say, I've never told anyone this before, God, and write it down. And then courageously move as we began to worship and set it here at the feet of the cross. Many have already done that this weekend. I encourage you to fold it. No one will be reading these. At the end of the week, I'll take them all at the end of the services and burn them and declare freedom over each and everyone. But that's step one. Step two, can I encourage you then to get with a follower of Jesus, a brother or sister in Christ this week, and tell them what it is you wrote down and ask them to pray for you, because that's an incredible step towards healing. My friend Rob Reamer, the author of Soul Care, often says, God doesn't want you to carry around the shame that he's already paid for on the cross. I don't want you to carry it either. So as we head to worship, would you consider coming? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to nudge you and bring anything into the light that you need to release and put at the foot of the cross? Let's pray. Jesus, we declare that you are a good father, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come now to bring conviction where conviction needs to come. May we hear your soft and restorative voice today, and may we linger in your presence. As shame goes, I declare freedom into this room in ways we haven't seen. I declare joy into this room in ways we haven't experienced yet, personally and corporately. So we look to you, the one who brought the victory, the one that allows us to make this power move today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.